Welcome back, listeners. Mo and McGee on Fantasy, bringing you week one. Logan,
woo!
Quite the start, don't you think?
We are back. Points were down. Not a big point bonanza this week. I think I saw something that the over-under totals were set at like 740 and we got to like 650. So there wasn't many big ones. We had, Philly, Detroit supplied enough points for half the league. But yeah, we're back. I lost 2 out of 3 this week. So really, really whipping the troops into shape.
Oh, only 3 leagues. This must be a down year for you.
Well, yeah, I'm, to be honest, guys, Timberwolves. I mean, I have Timberwolves fever after the Rudy Gobert trade. So I read like 10 Timberwolves blogs a day. So it's been kind of getting in between that and fantasy. But I'm still in 3. I'm probably a little more involved than other people are in their leagues. So 3 is probably enough. How about you?
Yeah, I'm in 5, but I probably should only be in 3. It's a lot. We missed the AFC recap episode. I'm sure you guys all noticed that. But we're back with week one with some names to remember, names to forget. Next man up, hot or not, all your favorite segments.
Let's do it, Kevin. Why don't you give us who to remember? Because certain people from the Hawkeye State will remember this guy as a once ballyhooed recruit for the Hawkeyes, and then he spurned us.
Yep, and we're talking about Eno Benjamin, who collected 4 targets, I think 5 rushes for the Arizona Cardinals. That is approaching standalone value, still not quite there, but he's playing behind James Conner, who inevitably will miss some games this year just with the way he plays. Eno Benjamin should be a guy that you're rostering as one of the more valuable handcuffs. And like I said, approaching a standalone value there, I could see him take over the entire pass catching role from the backfield at some point this season. So he's a guy that I am definitely remembering and have my eye on as a stash.
For sure. Yeah, I was all over Eno Benjamin. I think I have him in all 3 leagues. I think there was some hype last year about him kind of gaining a role towards the end of the year. Then they signed Daryl Williams. So they thought Daryl Williams might have, they weren't as high on Eno. Some training camp reports came through and then you saw it. He's explosive. 4 carries, 28 yards. And nothing to slouch at, but James Conner got 6 targets as well. So if Eno Benjamin can take over that entire pass catching role, you're right. Standalone value. If he's available in your league, go get Eno Benjamin.
And how about you? What's a name to remember on your side?
Yeah, I went with Christian Watson. He was, I kind of went a different route with this because I think he was a sleeper of a lot of people's, had a disappointing game. He dropped that wide open 75-yard touchdown. That's what I want to talk about, though, because the passing offense was a mess for Green Bay. I think as long as Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith are healthy, the Vikings are going to do that to people. But the encouraging sign was he was explosive. He was wide open. Rodgers is surly, but he's not an idiot. So he's going to throw to people who are open. And I think as the year goes on, when Lazard is in there, hopefully he commands the attention of the defense somewhat and can allow a guy like that, Christian Watson, to kind of feast on secondary receiver or secondary cornerbacks. And, it wasn't a hugely successful week one for him, but I think you should hold on, keep him in your thoughts. If someone drops him, pick him up.
Yeah, I agree with that. The other really promising thing with him was the 66% snap share, and that's coming up after a preseason where he missed quite a bit of time, a lot of time to get up to speed, as a rookie in that Green Bay offense and build trust with Rodgers. So you'll probably see that 66% snap share grow throughout the season, kind of as he builds rapport. I agree with you. The only direction he can go is up. And I loved taking shots on the lottery tickets for that Green Bay passing core, whether it be Watson or Dobbs. But after week one, I feel a lot better about Watson than I do Dobbs.
Absolutely. What about people you should maybe, had a little hype? Time to forget them, though.
Yeah, Joshua Kelly, especially after last year, backing up Austin Eckler in that Chargers offense, looked like, you know, a guy that could potentially take over some goal line work. But they bring in Isaiah Spiller, who inevitably was inactive week one, but also brought in Sony Michel, who I believe had 7 carries. It's pretty point blank obvious to me at this point that Joshua Kelly has to have 2 guys in front of him get hurt in order for him to have any value. I think you can safely forget about Joshua Kelly. Any dynasty leagues or any really deep leagues where he might be rostered, I think he can be safely dropped.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot. You know, just you and me before drafts, is it's a good idea to go out there and get backup running backs at end of drafts, or in this case, waiver wire week one. Go get those people. However, you want a person that's 1 injury away or has somewhat standalone value. Josh Kelly, 2 injuries away, has 0 standalone value. He's doing nothing for you on your bench. And so, yeah, safely drop. I'm out.
Yeah. And I gave you guys a running back to remember, a running back to forget. Logan, you went with a wide receiver to remember, so I want you to give me a wide receiver to forget.
Yeah, Russell Gage got a lot of hype in the offseason, signing from Atlanta over to Tampa Bay. Unfortunately for him, Julio Jones came late in the offseason and looks like going to be quite the player for Tampa Bay. He was used everywhere. He was used in little pitches. He was used on sweep arounds. He was Julio Jones. And, you know, he might have a little bit of value over the next couple weeks with Chris Godwin out, but I'm giving up hope that he's going to be a wide receiver 4 flex type at all this season, except for he might catch a long bomb once, twice a season, but he can be dropped as a regular contributor.
Yeah, I mean, maybe with Godwin out for a couple weeks, he has some slight value, but definitely not enough to make my starting lineup. And if he's not going to make it now with Godwin out, he's certainly not going to make it with Godwin in. So I agree with you.
He also got out targeted by Breshad Perriman. Not a good sign there.
You never want to be out targeted by Breshad Perriman.
All right, Kevin, let's move right along. We got the next man up. There were some injuries, some big injuries first week. Let's start with the running backs. Elijah Mitchell goes down. Seems to me his muscles are made of very thin paper at this point. So if you spend an early round draft pick, is Jeff Wilson a must-have, or are you going in a different direction?
I have a tough time hopping aboard the Jeff Wilson train. I know that he's been effective in the past when he's been in the lineup, but there was just so much talk about the other backups this preseason with Mason, and then also TDP, Tyrion Davis Price. I don't know what that backfield is going to look like. And we saw when Elijah Mitchell went out, Deebo Samuel's in the backfield. Brandon Ayuk was getting a carry. It's kind of a mess. With Elijah Mitchell out as an owner, you probably have to bid pretty high to get Jeff Wilson. I can't force myself to do it, but if you're in a pinch, he is the guy to own for now. But if you can afford to do it, I would like to take the wait and see approach.
Yeah, I'm hoping in all my leagues that there's someone who spends way too much money on Jeff Wilson Jr. There's been no point in his NFL career that I've said, oh yeah, that's the guy. He's not very explosive. He is a good back in that system. I think he's going to pick up, if they give him 20 carries, he'll get you 80 yards. But am I spending all my fab on him or going after, you know, some wide receivers who had better weeks and look like they might have safer floors? I'm probably going to stay away from the San Francisco backfield for a week and see if, like you mentioned, Mason or Davis Price can step in and potentially have a role. We saw last year, Trey Sermon was inactive week one, just like Terry and Davis Price. Trey Sermon then had a role week two, ended up kind of falling out of favor. But Kyle Shanahan is not going to tip his hand at all this week. So I would stay away. Spend your fab next week.
Yeah, and one quick note on Davis Price being inactive. He doesn't play special teams. Jordan Mason does play special teams with a running back moving to IR. You certainly will see Tyrion Davis Price be active, but I could definitely see him get some of the workload because he's more of a true runner rather than a guy that was just active to be a special teams piece like Jordan Mason.
Yeah, and they're not going to use any of these guys in the red zone. We saw that Debo is going to be the guy in the red zone, and
Trey Lance is always a threat.
Trey Lance, Kyle Juszczyk, you know, not a big spend for me. This is where I don't know, Kevin. You have had differing opinions about Steelers backfields than I have in years past. Najee Harris goes down. He might play week one. It was Jaylen Warren who picked up most of the snaps after he was out. Are you in on Jaylen Warren, or is there another Steelers running back you like?
Yeah, I really want to go Smelly Snell. But
I know you do.
But I cannot. I think it's going to be Jaylen Warren if Najee Harris doesn't play. There is the possibility that he does end up playing. Did not turn out to be a Liz Frank injury, could potentially be back. So I might sprinkle a couple fab dollars out there for Jaylen Warren, but really, unless you're playing him right now, or you have some confidence that Najee Harris will miss some extended time with just a banged up foot, you know, kind of just a bum foot throughout the season where it might be kind of a reoccurring issue. Than Jaylen Warren, but I'm not spending a lot of money there either.
No. All right. So we're kind of out on those backfields. I know we like the backup here. Keenan Allen goes down. We saw some other players step in. Mike Williams, I don't know where he was at, but.
Did he make the plane? I don't know. He did. It didn't seem like
it. Did. We both like Joshua Palmer. DeAndre Carter was the person who stepped in and got the touchdown. But Palmer's kind of our guy.
Yeah, he's definitely the guy for me. I mean, Jalen Guyton is also in the conversation, but I think there was a lot of hype around Joshua Palmer being the third wide receiver in this offense, and I think this opens up all opportunity for him. I think you're hoping that the Chargers get into some shootouts here to get max value out of that. Because it sounds like Keenan Allen might be back 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. But the thing that kind of scares me away from the whole Chargers thing, no one had more than four targets. I don't think that's going to happen with a healthy Keenan Allen. I think Mike Williams will probably be more involved, but it's very obvious Herbert's going to throw to the guy who's open. And so I don't know if there's going to be a surefire wide receiver two or one here. I think Josh Palmer will be usable on Thursday night. I'm not going to, you know, go out on a limb and say he's like, you should put him in your flex. But I think that if you're in a big pinch, multiple guys go down, maybe you drafted, I don't know, CeeDee Lamb and Keenan Allen, 1-2, Chris Godwin, third round, and now you're kind of screwed. But Palmer might be usable.
Yeah, maybe the most actionable play out of this is if you're scrapping for tight ends, maybe you got Cole Kmet and you're uneasy. This week, Gerald Everett seemed to play very well. We've seen him put up good fantasy numbers and stretches in the past. So that might be the most actionable play, actually, from the Keenan Allen injury.
Yeah, 22% air yard share for a tight end. Or sorry, 12% air yard share for a tight end is pretty good, because usually those guys are right at the right at the starting blocks. Don't get very far.
Last guy we have here, Chris Godwin. Looks like it's going to be an extended absence. I don't think he hit IR, so probably less than 4 weeks, but might be all of 4 weeks. Who do you like to replace Chris Godwin?
If Julio Jones didn't get drafted in your league, I think you should be spending 25% of your fab money maybe on Julio. If you're in a standard, waiver wire system, I would have him as my number one claim. The way that he was being used, the shots that he was taking, I think he's going to have value in Godwin's back. For the next week, I just told you to forget about Russell Gage. So, I'm not too high on him. I would maybe throw something out there Cameron Brate's way. Once again, if you're looking for a tight end. Otherwise, for the super desperate, super deep leagues, Breshad Perriman was out there. Picked up some targets as well.
Yeah, the really scary thing that the Bucks did at times on that Sunday night game was put Julio Jones and Mike Evans on the same side, and you talk about two big targets, man. That'll be a real pain for defenses to work through. I love the Julio bid there.
Absolutely, yeah, yep. Spend a considerable amount of fab if he's available. All right, enough of the injuries. Let's talk about who's hot, who's not. These are people who had a hot week. We think it can continue. Or if they did not have a hot week and we think they might be in some trouble or maybe they bounce back. Let's start with this first guy, Kevin, Donovan Peoples-Jones, who led the Browns in targets.
Yeah, and for that reason, I think he stays hot. He gets 11 targets. And that was in a game where the Browns were running all over Carolina. It was just an absolute slugfest. Ends up with 6 catches for 60 yards. If you tack a touchdown onto that, he's in everybody's lineup. I think he keeps this going. I think we've seen the emergence. I don't think Amari Cooper goes away, but if Cleveland finds themselves trailing rather than winning in a lot of these, rather than leading in a lot of these games, I could see Donovan Peoples-Jones having a lot of really hefty big weeks.
Yeah, and I think as long as Jacoby Brissett is the quarterback, it seems like he's always kind of maybe trusted those bigger, shorter passes. Amari Cooper tends to be 15, 20 yards down the field usually. Donovan Peoples-Jones is going to be slants. He's going to be outs. He's going to be, a fade route or something like that. So I think his target share will, hover around that 20-25%, which is very nice if you're talking about 30 passes a game. So I'm in on Donovan Peoples-Jones as well. A guy who got much chagrin over the offseason, Kevin, especially from us. I think we trashed him on our NFC preview podcast.
Yeah.
Antonio Gibson, though, he's a cockroach, did not go away. He had a nice game.
Yeah, the fantasy gods hate me. I've been all over Antonio Gibson, and as soon as I'm out, 8 targets. J.D. McKissick, I believe, had 4. God damn it. I'm in on Antonio Gibson. If he's catching, 5 or more balls in a game, I think it's over. He's just a dynamic player, can do a lot with the ball in his hands, and he's going to be running the ball on the goal line, it looks like. So I can't believe I was out on Gibson as soon as he's back in.
Yeah, the one thing, I'll pump people's brakes. Sounds like Brian Robinson is tracking to be back earlier than later. Week 5, 6, I think, was the target. J.D. McKissick was out for most of the offseason, or at least a good chunk. So he might just be kind of working back into shape. There's a reason they brought him back. There's a reason why he spurned other teams to go back there. I'm going to pump the brakes on Antonio Gibson. It was a nice showing week one. However, this happens almost every year, Kevin, where, you know, week one is the week where there's a lot of overreactions. I'm not going to overreact to the 8 targets and, you know, make a huge trade offer for Antonio Gibson. I'm still going to hold on to J.D. McKissic if I have him. I'm still going to hold on, put Brian Robinson in my IR spot. If he got dropped, I'm still going to pick him up. It wasn't like an overly explosive, you know, he had some nice plays, 4.1 yards per attempt rushing the ball. I just think Terry McLaurin will be more involved than he was. Only had 4 targets, which is a little concerning for him. But overall, I think it was just a lot of dump offs this week. Probably not in weeks, in the weeks forward.
Next guy we have on Hot or Not, coming off of a 2-touchdown game, Devin Duvernay. Only 4 catches, but like I said, turned 2 of those into touchdowns. Where are you on Devin Duvernay? Is he a must pick up or is he a flash in the pan?
This is what I like to call the Sammy Watkins game, Kevin. remember, I think it was like 2-3 years in a row, Sammy Watkins would have 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, just massive week one games. Everyone scrambles to pick him up. Everyone puts him in their starting lineup. He never does it again. I'm going to trust the pedigree here. I'm going to trust Rashad Bateman, who also had a touchdown. I'm going to trust Mark Andrews, who had 28% target share. Rashad Bateman had a 20% target share. Devin Duvernay tied with DeMarcus Robinson for targets.
And now, Isaiah Likely.
Isaiah Likely. I'm not rushing to get him. Once again, this is another one where I'll let people spend their fab dollars on Duvernay. I'll go down and see who actually, you know, his 21 points looks very nice if you're picking him up off fab. But some guy like Noah Brown, who didn't score a touchdown but had 6 catches for 70 yards, you know, if he gets into the end zone, his day looks a lot better. So I'm not going to get swayed by just touchdowns.
Yeah, I think the learning lesson here is don't chase points week one. Chase targets, chase snap share, but don't chase points, because things like this happen where guys get multiple touchdowns that just aren't sustainable throughout the season. You talked about that target tree getting spread around quite a bit, and that was with the Ravens leading most of the way. I could see in a more competitive game, you know, maybe that's a little bit more focused towards the tight ends and Bateman. So I am also fading Devin Duvernay. I'll let other people chase the points. I will be scooping up guys with better target shares from week one.
Absolutely. Let's talk about one of my favorite guys, Kevin. I'm going to talk about him a little bit. I'm going to let you go first, though, so I can kind of bask in the gloriness that is Michael Carter Jr. Everyone thought he was dead. Brees Hall is going to be a 3-down workhorse. What do you know, Kevin? 17 PPR points week one. Michael Carter was the guy.
However, Brees Hall did out target him. So I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on Michael Carter. I still think that he's definitely a guy that you're safe to start in week two. It looks like that he's going to be the first back out there. I think late in the week one cycle, it came out that the Jets want to run their offense through Michael Carter and kind of use Brees Hall as more of a complement. But I'm not certain that the targets will be there going forward. I think you're going to be relying more on rushing yards and touchdowns, which is still fine, especially at the RB2 spot. But I'm not going out and buying him all over the place. Jets threw 53 times. That's not going to happen again this season. Certainly not 19 targets to those two running backs. That's certainly not going to happen again this season. But still a solid player, still worth playing. But I'm not. I don't think he's going to be red burning hot like we saw in week one.
Yeah, he was pretty explosive with his touches, but you're right. You know, Joe Flacco was the quarterback week one for the Jets. So when Milf Hunter gets back in, you know, how does that change the flow of the offense? I am a big Michael Carter fan. I think he's a pro talent. He's a good talent. He deserves to get the ball. We'll see how long he can hold off Breece Hall. Week one was an encouraging sign, though. But, you know, you're right. Don't drop Breece Hall. Don't trade an insane haul for Michael Carter. You're right. Kind of a wait-and-see approach. Let's see what happens week two once they don't throw 50 times. Let's see if maybe Breece Hall just needed a week to get his NFL legs under him.
Yeah. There you go. That's the week one recap, folks. We'll catch you back here for the strategy-themed podcast. Which is always my favorite.
Absolutely, Kevin. We'll see you there.